Digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Abu Fayyad, a citizen of your country, enters the United States, detonates a nuclear bomb, killing thousands. Next, Assad attempts to assassinate the president.
You know fully well that we have cooperated with you since the inception of this crisis. I had an understanding with your president.
And now you're gonna have one with me.
You help us find those nukes before another goes off, or I'm gonna unleash the full power of our military on your country.
I'm terminating the American. Do you confirm?
Yes.
The American has shot Vasily. He's in the basement.
Shut down the phone lines. DSL, everything.
Morris is Jack. I know how to find Gradenko. Morris.
Jack?
Jack Bauer is currently being held captive in the Russian consulate. Doyle will help you put a tactical profile together for an assault on the consulate.
Our primary objective is to abduct Anatoly Markov, the consul. Now, according to Jack, Markov knows how to find Gradenko, who controls the remaining three suitcase nukes.
The Americans are coming in.
I thought you had that under control.
It won't be long before they have your position.
This drone is ready to launch. Arm the bomb.
What's going on at the Russian consulate?
Jack Bauer is still at large and somewhere inside. We have to go in.
Jack Bauer, you need to contact Bill Buchanan. Tell him that Fayette and Gradenko are in the Shadow Valley.
Patch me in with Buchanan.
The following takes place between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m.
A diplomatic limo, its windows shot out, stands in the grounds of the Russian consulate. Ambulances are parked up. The wounded are being tended. Mike Doyle strides across to where Jack is being examined by a medic.
Medevac's on the way. How you holding up?
Fine.
Doc?
He may have floating rib fragments which would cause internal bleeding. He needs to be stabilized.
Agent Doyle, I told you I'm fine. I want to be involved in this mission.
C2U has the ball, Jack. Right now, this is out of your hands.
Doyle strides away, leaving Jack sitting on his gurney. He looks up to see the spotlight of an approaching chopper.
We now believe Gradenko was in possession of at least five RQ-2 aerial drones somewhere in Shadow Valley.
RQ-2s?
Unmanned stealth aircraft which can be remotely piloted from anywhere in the world.
And Gradenko's arming them with the nuclear weapons he provided to Fayette.
Yes, sir. We're redirecting satellite coverage over the Mojave Desert, and the Air Force is scrambling F-16s from Edwards.
But you have no idea how close Fayette and Gradenko are to launching these drones?
No, sir, we don't.
All right, Bill, you keep me updated.
Yes, sir.
Fayette looks on as the drones are prepared for takeoff.
Bring the trucks around. We are moving out now.
What's wrong?
How many drones have been armed?
Just this one.
Damn it!
We need to launch it now. Get it ready. Go, go.
Tell me what's wrong.
What's wrong?
The Americans know our location.
How? It was Markov, huh? Markov told them.
All that matters is that they know we are here. We need to launch the drone before they close in.
We have three bombs and three targets.
We'll find a way to deliver the other two bombs.
All this time, you've tolerated your condescension, berating us for losing the other bombs. But now it's your fault. Markov was your man.
Blame me all you want, but if we stay here, we'll be captured or killed.
Onto the desert airstrip roll several vehicles.
They fit the other bombs into their casings or load them on the truck.
Do it now! Take them out!
Gradenko phones out.
We're accelerating our schedule.
Why?
I don't have time to explain. I need you to launch drone 0709.
I haven't finished implementing the evasion vectors. They'll shoot it down before it reaches its target.
Launch the drone. You'll execute evasion tactics once it's in the air.
Yes, sir.
The man sits in front of a bank of equipment and slides forward a joystick. flames issue from the rear of the drone as it speeds along the runway. The man operating the drone watches his screen, which shows the runway passing at speed. Rudenko and Fayed stand watching as the tiny aircraft soars up into the darkening sky. The operator observes the ground falling away beneath the craft and smiles in nervous excitement.
We need to leave now.
Come on, let's go.
7:05, at CTU.
We're repositioning our satellites as fast as we can, sir. As soon as we make visual contact, we'll uplink a real-time feed to your command.
Just get me that intel, Yazir. Lives are at stake.
Yes, sir.
Milo looks at Nadia.
You okay?
The truth? No, not really.
We're gonna get through this, okay?
I hope so.
Chloe approaches, looking grimly at Milo, who pats Nadia's hand. They look at her expectantly.
Is there a problem, Chloe?
Yeah.
Are you going to tell us what it is?
I was installing security upgrades, and I noticed you were using Milo's clearance code, which, in case you didn't know, is a felony security breach.
No, that must be a mistake.
My system's been glitchy, and I think
It's not a glitch, Milo. Nadia's been working with your user ID, so unless she stole it, you gave it to her.
Milo was just trying to help me do my work. Homeland Security sent down an order restricting my security access because I was born in the Middle East.
I've heard of that directive, and I think it's wrong for us to be racially profiling our own agents, but it's still a felony security breach for you to be using Milo's code.
Chloe, look, if you report this, we can't help the situation if we're fired and arrested.
If I wanted to report you, I wouldn't be talking to you. I'm telling you this so that you be careful. I mean, I noticed it. Someone else is going to notice it sooner or later.
Chloe leaves. Nadia looks at Milo.
Nadia.
Yes, sir.
Morris has a satellite visual on Shadow Valley. Looks like the terrorists have launched a single drone. I'm conferencing with General Walsh now.
I'll be right there, sir. Coordinate with first responders at all target zones.
Put General Walsh through.
Sir, you're on with Bill Buchanan.
This is Walsh.
General, we've made visual contact with a single drone. We're tracking it on satellite.
It's heading on a northwest vector out of Shadow Valley. Altitude is 3,300 feet and climbing. Velocity is 360 miles an hour.
I'm looking at the specs on the RQ-2 now. It's got a low-profile design, virtually impossible to detect by radar. We'll need to manually guide our F-16s to intercept.
We're uplinking a video feed to you now.
You determined its intended target?
Yes, this is Nadia Yasser. The closest target is downtown Los Angeles. That's a 4-minute window.
Maximum airspeed of an RQ-2 is 400 miles per hour. My F-16 should be able to intercept it within 2 minutes.
Morris stares in alarm at his screen.
That may be a problem. I can't find the drone. The drone's gone.
How could it be gone?
It was passed between grids, but when I switched satellites...
Readjust based on projected vectors.
I'm doing that now, General. It's just not where it's supposed to be.
Till you find it, I'll have my F-16 stay in a holding pattern.
The terrorist convoy heads down a large road. Gridenko takes the call.
Yes?
I've accessed our connection to CTU.
I've disabled their tracking capability.
Then they cannot detect the drone.
No. And I'll be able to keep it hidden from their satellites until we've hit the target.
Good. I'll contact you again once we're out of the area.
End of part one.
Sir, I was just talking to Bill Buchanan at CTU. They were tracking one of the drones. They've now lost visual contact with it.
Lost visual contact?
It's unclear just how, sir. They just simply can't find it.
We have the most sophisticated satellite network in the world. How the hell did this happen?
CTU is still trying to determine that, sir.
What about the military?
Well, they've got 3 squadrons looking for it, but these drones are invisible to radar, so the pilots are limited to making visual ID at night over hundreds of square miles. Now, CTU has a ranked list of potential targets. They're running civil disaster scenarios.
Lisa.
Sir.
Advance the meeting with the Joint Chiefs.
When do you want it to happen?
Right away.
But, sir, why are we assembling the Joint Chiefs?
I warned the Ambassador, Tom. You heard me tell him that I'd hold his country responsible if Another nuclear weapon was detonated on our soil.
Sir, there's absolutely no evidence that his country either sponsored these attacks or is even in support of them.
His people need to understand that I'm not just rattling my saber. They need to see with their own eyes that I will answer this threat with an in-kind military response.
In kind, sir?
I want the Joint Chiefs to draw up our own target list for a nuclear strike.
Lennox looks aghast. He casts a look at Lisa and then back at Daniels, who is quivering with rage.
I won't let another attack go unanswered, Tom.
Lennox shakes his head in disbelief. 7:15. At CTU.
At its rated speed, the drone should have reached Los Angeles, so we can eliminate us as a target. In the next few minutes, I can take Santa Barbara and San Diego off the list.
How many targets does that leave within the drone's range?
Counting cities with populations over a million, 15.
We have to narrow it down. Assuming they want the maximum civilian death toll, how many likely targets within the drone's range?
Areas with the highest population density are San Francisco, Las Vegas, and Phoenix.
Confirm that Nest teams and first responders have deployed in those cities.
Okay.
Morris, make sure the Air Force prioritizes their search on that basis.
Yep.
Bill spots Jack coming into CTU.
Give me the projected coordinates.
Bill, did we pick up Grudenko?
We're working on it.
Bill, what happened?
Grudenko escaped, but not before launching one of the drones.
How close is the Air Force to intercepting it?
F-16s were minutes away, then the drone disappeared from the satellite grid. We're still looking for it. Jack, get to medical. There's nothing you can do here.
Just keep me informed, please.
I will. Doyle, I want you to run point on the search for Fayed and Grudenko. Milo's monitoring from the Situation Room. I'll be right there.
7:16. Jack is escorted through the back corridors. He spots Marilyn in a side room.
I'll see you over medical.
Yes.
Hey.
Hey.
Can we have a moment, please?
Certainly. They said you were hurt.
I'm fine.
She gazes at him fondly. He momentarily seems to unwind.
As soon as all of this is over, I'll come by and check on you and Josh.
I always regretted things didn't work out between us. And I always believed you did too.
She moves in to kiss him. He shies away minutely at the last second. She looks disappointed and chastened.
Maybe I was wrong.
No, you weren't. Listen, Marilyn. Before I was taken prisoner by the Chinese, I was with someone. She doesn't even know I'm still alive, but I need to talk to her. See what happens.
Are you talking about Audrey Raines?
Yeah.
You don't know, do you? Jack, I'm sorry to be the one to have to tell you this. Audrey's dead. I don't know all the details. I just know what I read in the paper about her accident.
What accident? When?
It was a few months ago. It was a car accident somewhere in China.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I have to go.
Jack walks swiftly and doggedly away, his face a mask of appalled incredulity. He beards Chloe and grabs the phone out of her hand.
Why the hell didn't anybody tell me about Audrey?
Mr. Buchanan didn't want to tell you when you first got back because we all thought Fayed was just going to kill you. But I probably should have. I'm sorry.
She was in China looking for me.
She was the one who figured out the Chinese had taken you. Apparently she spent the past year going through back channels to try to get you out. The rest of it's classified by division. I don't know anymore. We were asked to send the DNA records so that they could get a positive ID on the remains, which I guess they did.
I want that file.
All right, Jack.
No!
I have to dig it up in archives.
Just do it.
J- Jack glares across the operations floor and through the glass wall of an office in which stand Bill and Doyle. Bill looks almost guilty as Jack storms away.
The Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs will be attending in person. The state will be monitoring via satellite, and the rest of the cabinet will be provided with video transcripts.
Good.
You should also know that Karen Hayes will be attending.
I thought I told you I wanted her excluded from this. She supported Wayne Palmer's policy of appeasement. She's gonna be a problem.
Well, there was nothing I could do. She's still acting National Security Advisor. But I believe, given the current circumstances, any objection to your plans will not be able to gain traction.
Oh, I've known Karen Hayes for many years. It's always been a mistake to underestimate her.
Daniel spots Karen striding through the bunker.
Hello, Tom. Did somebody push you down the stairs?
No, Karen, I tripped over your ineptitude. On that subject, welcome back.
Look, Tom, I don't want to play games. I won't let you blackmail me again, so you do what you need to do. I am here to represent the president, and I intend to stay.
Fair enough. Karen, no one is sorrier than I am about what happened to Wayne.
Well, at least we have that in common.
Karen powers into the briefing room, followed by Lennox.
Karen?
She takes her place at the table just as Daniels makes his dramatic entrance through the glass doors at the rear of the room.
Please be seated. As many of you are already aware, terrorists who attacked us this morning, Abu Fayyad, with the help of Dmitry Gradenko, has launched an aerial drone that we believe is armed with another nuclear bomb. Efforts are ongoing to locate this drone, but should those efforts fail, we're looking at a second nuclear attack on our country in less than 10 hours. And I am determined not to let this attack happen without a military response on our part.
A military response directed against whom, Mr. Vice President? We were under the impression that these terrorists were essentially stateless.
Secretary Kanan, that is the fiction they hide behind. But everyone in this room knows that elements within Abu Fayyad's country train and fund terrorist organizations like his. It is time to hold them accountable. The ambassador has just been informed that if the nuclear weapon on that drone detonates, we will retaliate with our own nuclear strike. Now, this will be a warning shot, not a full-scale attack. The Joint Chiefs have been instructed to identify an unpopulated area where there will be limited civilian casualties, Admiral.
The closest match we have to that scenario is territory near their northern border. We believe this should result in fewer than 2,000 deaths. Long-term damage from radioactive fallout, however, could double that number depending on ground conditions.
I can accept that.
Mr. Vice President, I'm sure you're aware that our intelligence suggests that their government can't control Fayyad either. They are doing the best that they can.
And I'm saying they need to figure out a way to do better. Something tells me that once this bomb hits, they will.
If this bomb hits, the opposite will hold true. The moderates will be driven from power. The terrorist position will be strengthened there and in the region. And I don't hear anyone talking about the Chinese or Russian response to this. We could start another world war.
If I thought there was a high likelihood of that, I wouldn't be suggesting this.
Mr. Vice President, the stakes are too high for this decision to be based on your personal judgment. It is my opinion that this course of action would be dangerous and reckless.
Consider your concern registered, Karen. But the debate is over. America must start to stand up for herself. The attacks on this country must stop. And as acting commander-in-chief, I believe this is the best way to make that happen.
Daniels rises.
Admiral, I have a nuclear strike sub standing by.
Yes, Mr. Vice President.
Daniel surges out of the room. Lisa glides in his wake. Karen stands and tries to force Lennox to make eye contact. 7:24. End of part 2. 7:28. At CTU.
Nadia, I never got those SIM files you were going to send me.
Oh, yeah, your system was overloaded, so I gave them to Morris. He's going to take care of it for you.
Morris?
Yeah.
You really think he can handle it?
Oh, he seems to be himself again.
And he's himself because he had a drink and he smoothed out?
I don't think so.
Nadia heads off upstairs. Milo turns and approaches Chloe.
Hey, what are you doing?
Setting up a reverse data stream on the drone satellite intel, okay?
Morris seems better.
Is that a question?
Is he?
Yes.
Look, I need you to do me a favor.
No.
I need you to check his breath. If he's better, great. If he had a drink and he's headed for another crash, we need to know about that.
Fine.
7:29. Chloe walks resignedly across the operations floor towards where Morris is working.
Thanks, Dylan.
Milo smiles wryly as Chloe plants a huge kiss on Morris's lips.
What was that for?
Just checking your breath.
Morris and Milo exchange an ironic salute.
He's fine.
Thank you.
Got to love this place.
Tom? Tom?
Yes, Karen, I hear you.
You can't possibly be in favor of Daniel's plan for a nuclear strike.
You heard the Vice President. It's a warning shot into an unpopulated area.
It is a military offensive on foreign soil, and you and I both know it will be impossible to contain. Tom, you know this is insane. I know you do. I saw you in that meeting. I saw the doubt in your eyes.
Do not presume to know what I am thinking or feeling. I serve at the discretion of those above
you
me.
You serve the interests of the president, and you know that Wayne would not sign off on this course of action.
Wayne was wrong. Every decision he made today was wrong. Rejecting my security initiatives, using Assad as an appeal to extremist groups. And look what we've been led to.
You can't seriously believe that. You just cannot.
It doesn't matter what I believe. As long as the president is in a coma, Daniels is the acting commander-in-chief. Now, if you want him to abort that missile launch, you had better pray that CTU can find and stop that drone.
7:31 at CTU.
We've got ground teams on all roads leading out of Shadow Valley looking for Fayette and Gradenko. But with SAT support dedicated to finding the drone, there's not much to go on.
And Caltrans doesn't have any cameras set up in the outlying areas.
Mr. Buchanan, we figured out how the drone is able to stay hidden from our satellites. Whoever is piloting it is able to anticipate our repositioning directives, flying through the gaps in the images.
How can you do that?
Our satellite data is being relayed to the drone pilot through a workstation here. We have a leak.
We're our own people?
Looks that way.
Can you isolate the workstation?
No, it's being masked through a sub-circuit. Morris is working on it now, but there are over 50 stations in this building. It could take an hour to do a signature trace.
We don't have an hour.
Doyle looks around shrewdly.
Run a trace match on Nadia Yassir's station.
Why Nadia?
Do it.
Wait, you think just because she's a Muslim that gives
I'm
you the
I'm following standard protocol.
Standard
she's
protocol.
Already been tagged and given restricted clearance. And yeah, she is a Muslim. That's enough to go on. Everyone here is thinking it, even if they won't say it.
You're a racist.
Marlo, I understand your distaste, but we have to vet every system in the building. There's no reason not to start with hers.
No, sir, there's every reason. Nadia Yasser is 100% loyal to this country. She is not a terrorist.
And is this assessment based on some private knowledge, or is it because you're itching to sleep with
her? Son.
All right, enough!
Agent Doyle, that was way out of line. We don't have time for your personal differences.
We have to find out who's subverting our system.
It is Nadia. The signature trace matches her computer.
Shut down our workstation.
I'm trying. The only way to cut the data flow is to reboot CTU's mainframe. We'd be without system power for more than 20 minutes.
Get security on the floor now.
Doyle is out of the briefing room and heading like a terrier across to Nadia's desk. Buchanan follows in his wake.
Surrender your station.
Excuse me?
Who are you streaming our satellite data to?
What?
Where is the pilot?
Doyle, damn it, that's enough.
Take her to Holden.
Bill, don't let him do this. Bill, I'm innocent. I'm not a traitor. Don't let go of me.
Nadia catches Milo's eye as he gazes bereft as she is led away.
Morris, secure her station. See if you can run a backtrace on that leak. Find out where the feed is going.
Excuse me.
Morris edges Doyle out of the way and sets to work on Nadia's workstation. He looks around in disbelief. Milo slips away. Gridenko wrestles with a map and makes a call.
Victor, what is the drone's current position?
130 miles southeast of the target.
Have you locked in the GPS coordinates?
Yes. The bomb will detonate over San Francisco within 20 minutes.
Drip to stay steady. Add in some glucose after about an hour. You see anything, any movement, twitch the eyelids, you get me. You got it?
Yes, sir.
Karen Hayes waits anxiously outside.
Dr. Welton, I need to speak with you.
I don't have much time, Miss Hayes.
What's the president's condition?
It's worsened in the last 15 minutes. There was a buildup of intracranial pressure. We had to induce a coma to relieve the swelling.
I see.
Good news is we stopped it in time. Doesn't seem to have been any neural damage, and his vitals are surprisingly strong. He's a fighter. We have that much going for us. Excuse me.
Doctor.
Yes?
Is there any way that you can bring the president back to consciousness? I know this is an unusual request, but it's a matter of national security that I speak with him.
I'm sorry, I could pose a serious risk to his life. I couldn't possibly authorize it.
Who could?
I'd need consent from his family. His sister is here, but I'd strongly advise against it. If the swelling isn't contained, the president could suffer permanent brain damage. I have to go, Miss Hayes.
Karen remains there pensively, then turns to go. She stops and looks intently through the window in the door to Palmer's ward room. On the far side of the room is another similar door through which Sandra Palmer stares desperately at her ailing brother. Karen appears to be wrestling with a difficult decision. At CTU, Morris works in front of a frantically flashing screen. Milo sits gravely looking at CCTV footage of Doyle standing over Nadia, who is bound to a chair in one of the grimmer interrogation rooms. Milo shakes his head. 7:41, Chloe approaches.
This is insane. Nadia can't be involved in this.
The signal was routed through her station. We can't ignore that fact.
You really believe that Nadia is helping the terrorists?
I don't want to believe it, but I really don't know.
Doyle's an ass.
He's doing his job. If we want him to stop, we have to prove she's innocent.
Hello. I think I got something.
What is it?
I've set up a feedback pulse. Whoever Nadia's feeding our data stream to will read us as some static in the line, but we may be able to ride the pulse back to its source, find the location of the drone plane. I've got it. 1530 Hillcrest.
Hillcrest, that's close.
Bloody close, 3 blocks away.
Okay, tell Buchanan.
Doyle sits by Nadia.
I'm asking once again, cooperate. Help me put an end to this.
Nadia, her face bathed in sweat, stares hostilely back. Doyle grabs her throat.
I'm warning you. I will do what's necessary to get the answers I need. You understand? You understand?
I understand everything. I read your file. I know what you did in Denver. You enjoy hurting people. You get off on it.
We're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about what you know.
I don't know anything.
Get away from her, Doyle. I said let
her go.
What the hell are you doing?
We got the drone pilot's location through Nadia's computer.
Where is it?
3 blocks from here.
1530 Hillcrest.
We're not through with her, Milo.
Doyle stalks out. 7:43, Milo looks down at Nadia with guarded compassion.
Are you okay?
She nods.
Milo, you know I didn't have anything to do with this.
Milo holds her gaze but remains expressionless.
Get out of here.
Milo opens his mouth as if to speak. Tears roll down Nadia's lovely face. Milo nods ever so slightly and turns to go. Nadia's face reflects almost unbearable anguish. In the medical bay of CTU, Jack, his abdomen bound around with bandages, sits on a bed holding a file. Beneath a small photo of Audrey, the text of the file is overlaid with the word deceased in red capitals. Jack turns the page to reveal grisly shots of a car wreck. A badly burnt arm extends from beneath a blue blanket on the roadway. Jack winces. He turns to a picture of the charred remains of Audrey's passport. Jack looks up as two TAC team operatives pass along the corridor. 7:44, Jack gets up and clearly in a fair amount of pain crosses determinedly to the door.
Hey, what's going on? We have a location on the drone's pilot. We're mobilizing now.
Jack looks thoughtful.
As you know, whoever's piloting the drone is operating in close proximity to CTU. I'm instituting a level one security lockdown. All provisional safeguards are in effect until further notice. Let's go to work.
Bill looks up to see Jack, now dressed and ready for action.
Marcy. Contact LAPD, have them coordinate with tactical. Seal off a perimeter.
Yes, sir.
Chloe, they confirm the address.
Yes, it's a relay station. I've got the building specs and layout.
I'm going to need a PDA and a phone.
I'll get them for you.
Thanks.
Jack, what are you doing?
I'm going with the team.
You're injured. You should be in medical.
You should have told me about Audrey, Bill.
We were asking you to give your life, Jack. Irene was right to tell you about Audrey's accident.
It wasn't an accident. She was murdered.
No one knows that for sure.
I do. Bill, Audrey gave her life trying to get me out of a Chinese prison because she thought I was worth it. I'm not going to let her die for nothing now. I'm going to finish this. And when I do, I'm going to track down the people responsible for her murder, and I'm going to take care of them, too. Please, you have to let me finish this.
All right. I'll tell Doyle your other point.
Thank you.
Jack's resolve seems to be all he has to deaden the pain. 7:46, end of part 3. Part 4, 7:50, Nadia weeps. Victor, the drone pilot, clutches the joystick and talks into his headset.
The drone is approaching the city. I'm beginning descent now.
How long until the bomb detonates?
At its current speed, the drone will reach the target perimeter within 3 minutes. It will detonate automatically when it reaches the perimeter line. I'll bring it in at an altitude of 500 feet to achieve maximum damage. Don't worry, Tavarish. Everything is set. It will happen exactly as you planned.
Concentrate on the task at hand. Then call me when it's done.
Yes, sir.
Victor goes back to his sinister task. Jack and Doyle, plus the heavily armed TAC team, crouch in the darkness.
Bill, it's Jack. We're in position. The gate was open. There's a utility truck parked behind the building.
Our backtrace shows the intrusion into our system is coming from a room in the northwest corner of the switching station.
Jack, I'm looking at an updated schematic now. Your most direct route is through the rear entrance to the left.
Okay. Did you get that?
Yeah. You want me on point?
I got it. Let's go.
Whatever you say.
Jack leads. Doyle and the team follow him into the compound. 7:52. By an angle in the fence, Jack signals with his left hand for the team to stop. Through the chain-link fence, Jack observes a man walking out of the building towards the van. Jack steps out, his gun drawn. The team move in. Inside, Victor turns to another gang member.
What was that? Go check.
The man obeys, leaving Victor at his bank of equipment, showing the drone's final approach. In the corridor, Victor scuttles to hide behind the bank of electronic machinery. Jack and the team file into the room, weapons drawn. Victor raises his pistol and aims at one of the team. Jack wounds Victor. The terrorist scrabbles in a bag and fetches out a grenade. Before he can pull the pin, Jack disables him. Jack and Doyle draw close to the control panel of the drone.
Let's get a medic.
Chloe, it's Jack. Do you copy?
We copy.
Jack, what's your status?
The drone pilot is down. I'm at his controls now. The target is San Francisco. I repeat, the target is San Francisco.
Alert local law enforcement and first responders in the area and open a channel with the regional control center up there.
Got it.
Jack takes control and works feverishly at the screen.
These controls are for navigation only. There is no way to deactivate the bomb remotely.
CTU, we're linking you in now. You should have it.
It's coming through.
Jack, is there any way for you to determine what triggering mechanism they're using?
It looks like they wired a GPS module into the bomb. It'll detonate as soon as it crosses its designated perimeter. I'm trying to steer it away now.
Don't turn the drone too sharply or it'll stall and you'll lose control.
Copy that.
On its current course, the drone will cross the perimeter and detonate in 30 seconds.
Doyle checks his watch. The drone powers ahead towards San Francisco.
Jack, you're getting a stabilizer warning.
I see it.
20 seconds.
Come on.
Jack grimly tugs at the joystick. The screen shows that the drone is starting to bank slightly.
10 seconds. Okay, it's turning.
The drone did not cross the perimeter.
I'm fighting a stall. I'm losing control of the drone. I need to find a place to land it now.
All right, according to the specs, it's going to need 500 feet of one way to land.
Okay, closest to the drone's current position, there's a long stretch of residential road straight ahead of you.
That's a negative. Find me an area that's unpopulated.
Hold on. If you can get the drone farther east, there's an industrial park along the bay. I'm uploading the coordinates now.
Have regional command deploy units to the area immediately.
Operation.
Regional command.
Jack stares intently at the screen, which shows a low-level aerial view of the industrial park in green night vision flashing past. The sinister little aircraft swoops over a low building. It descends swiftly towards some kind of wharf. At the end stands a large crane gantry.
Drone is down!
The tiny plane bounces and scrapes along the hard surface. Flames begin to issue from the rear. It spins and slides, now almost fully engulfed in flame. The screen, which has been showing the view from the drone, now goes dead.
Mr. Buchanan, none of the first responders in San Francisco are reporting a detonation. The bomb did not go off on impact.
Jack, did you copy that?
Yeah.
Can we get a visual from anyone at the site?
I'm showing a fire and rescue unit already arriving at the scene.
What's the status on the pilot?
He's alive, barely.
Do whatever you have to get him conscious.
The drone continues blazing. 756. Emergency vehicles swarm in around it. The bomb is plainly visible. An official reads his bleeping gauge and turns urgently.
Get the Geiger counter.
A fireman fetches the Geiger counter and runs across to hand it to the official. He turns it on. The machine immediately starts flashing an angry red. The official looks alarmed.
Move out! There's radioactive material in this area! Pull back and wait for hazmat! Move in!
The flames lick ever closer to the nuclear device. Wayne Palmer remains unconscious. Sandra looks on, beside herself with worry. Nadia agonizes in her interrogation cell. The TAC team continue to work on the injured Victor. Lisa approaches Daniels.
Sir,
Bill Buchanan on line one.
Bill, what do you have?
Mr. Vice President, the drone was intercepted before the nuclear bomb was able to detonate.
Oh, thank God.
Congratulations, sir.
We were able to take control of the aircraft, crash landing it in an industrial park at the edge of the city. But in the process, the bomb's nuclear core was compromised and radioactive material was released.
So what we're essentially dealing with is a dirty bomb.
Sir, this was not a dispersal device. It was a radiological spill.
It was an attack on our nation. Bill, are there casualties?
Local responders got there before hazmat. They were almost certainly exposed to fatal doses of radiation. But so far, it appears that radioactive material was not widely dispersed. Casualties should be minimal.
At least we got that to be grateful for. Thanks, Bill.
Lisa switches off the speakerphone. Lennox and Karen Hayes look on as Daniels broods.
Proceed with the warning strike as planned.
Sir, the primary attack was averted. CTU was successful.
There will be civilian deaths as well as untold environmental damage. I hardly consider that a success.
The damage will be minimal compared to what we just avoided. Sir, I think we should consider ourselves fortunate. Tom.
Sir. Mr. Vice President, we were led to believe that this warning shot would be fired only in response to the detonation of a nuclear device.
That is a technicality, Tom. I gave fair warning to the Prime Minister, and I intend to carry it out. Secretary Cannon, how long will it take to move the submarine into position?
Once you've given the order, within the hour.
The order's given. Launch the missile as soon as they're in range.
8 p.m. The end.
In a moment on Sky One, discover more about Nikki and Paolo and the darker secrets of their past. And what might Sawyer know about them? Lost in just a couple of ticks. And in an hour, the No Smoking Money goes missing and Sheila falls off her rocker. Brand new Rescue Me at 11. Concluding Sunday night on Sky One.